Welcome to Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods, where every story, every scar, and every strength becomes a part of our survival strategy. This is more than a podcast. This is the front line of transformation. Here we live by the 3L collective theory. And that is your losses plus your lessons equals the greatest legacy. A healing framework created by myself for communities who have been surviving systems never built for us. Together we name our pain, we lift our lessons, and build the legacy we wish we had. Because healing isn't just personal, it's political, it's cultural, and it's collective. So take a breath, pull up a chair, and let's get into this episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. It is just me today. I am so excited to be able to invite some more of my storytelling. As many of you know, I am writing my second book, When the Chains Fall. I am actually taking my time with this book. So a lot of people don't know this, but the first book I wrote, y'all, that 286-87 page book, I wrote that in 1 month. Okay, so it kind of took me a long time to recover because I was just, number one, so unhealthy for me to re-traumatize myself with all those stories in such a short amount of time. This one, I'm learning to stretch it, take my time with it, don't rush it, just perfect it, feel comfortable with it, feel confident about it, and then release it to the community to be able to do its own work. And so I'm super excited to be able to get that to you. The book is in the editing phases right now. And I can say that the editor that I have, Brian Zamora, is just one of the homies who really, really has been helping me bring this all to life. So quick shout out to you. Definitely want to be able to get this story to you all and then also be able to get you all to get little sneak peek stories that are going to be also included in the book. And so that is what this episode is going to be. I am going to be reading the story Solve for X. X equals 2500 minus 24 hours. This is a story that is about, just a quick little background, it is about high school version of myself, freshman year, walking up to, waking up to a series of traumatic events that had happened the night before. And the way that that had impacted my learning. So the goal to share this story is to invite you all to look at the story and be applicable with your own lives on how you also fit this formula. I believe that there are some good points that I hope to touch on to really help birth that a little bit more. So just bear with me. I'm going to read the story real quick right now. We're going to break it down to each category. And that's the cool thing about this new book, y'all. Each story in the book is broken down by losses, lessons, and legacy. Because I want you all to see how I use the formula within my own life and then utilize this formula for yourselves as it relates to how you recover or find resiliency. What I call often forced resiliency, because we often force into this shit. But that forced resiliency is really critical for our survival, especially the neighborhoods we go into or we come from. So yes, solve for X. X equals 2500 minus 24 hours. Let me get to it. Let me stop talking. Losses. We had a long night and most of us didn't really sleep. We tossed and turned as fear laid in our rapid heartbeats. What just happened? We had the habit of pretending that everything was normal the next day, even when it wasn't. The bell rang 25 minutes ago and I'm dragging my feet into Mr. Conway's class door. Algebra is a tough subject for me and being late doesn't help me learn the skills I need to understand it. All eyes are on me and it feels like a walk of shame. I sit quietly and pull out my notebook and pencil case. I sit in silence as I watch him write the practice problems on the board for random students to complete them. Being late and wanting to squeeze in another lesson about time management, he calls out, "Dez, come on up to do question 3. I thought to myself, Come on. Like, I know you know that I know that I wasn't even here for the lesson. So what you calling on me for? Today was just one of those days. You feel me? I feel out of it. Rather, I found myself distracted, defeated, numb, confused all at once. My heart beats a rapid rhythm and my breath is short and fast. I decline his invitation. I ain't in the mood today. I resist. He insists. I repeat with a tone of frustration. I already told you I'm not in the mood. The bass in my tone and my head movement spoke a language of seriousness. I stood on business. My attitude problem was known to all students and teachers. My mouth was quick and sharp, but it interfered with my learning. I actually loved algebra, but because life had already handed me equations that math could never solve for me, I grew a deep frustration over the way education forced me to learn when I needed to survive. He'd ask me again, Desiana, what's up? Talk to me. How can I help you turn your day around? My mouth wanted to open up and describe the night before. I wanted to say, Mr. Conroy, my family was held at gunpoint last night by our city drug dealers and they beat up someone we knew from church really bad. He sat on the top of our stairs with a face that was just swollen and doubled in size. Mr. Conroy, his left eye was shut in purple. They tortured him for hours and the impact of the gun hitting his head appeared horrible. I'm terrified. Mr. Conroy, they sat on our front porch waiting as we arrived home. They approached our mother about demanding drugs and money, something about someone stealing a stash and taking a safe. Mr. Conroy, we knew nothing about any drugs and my mother would never put us in harm's way like that. They told us we got 24 hours to come up with $2,500. Like, for real, how are we supposed to do that? The math ain't math, and can you help me solve for X? How can a single parent with four kids, no diploma, a low-wage paying job, come up with $2,500 in 24 hours? I'm solving for X, substituting X with sources like asking my homies if I could sell drugs for them, selling my TV and the only pair of Jordans I have, or stealing cell phones or a car. My options are limited, and our lives are on the line. I don't care what it costs to help my family survive this, Mr. Conroy. As my math teacher, please tell me, how can you help me solve for X? I'm struggling. How do I solve for X when X is survival and not numbers? Lessons. Forced to navigate education and survival because the ones who show compassion didn't always have the answers I was seeking for survival. Instead, it taught me to stay silent. I didn't stand 10 toes on my truth, so my tears did the talking. To him as a teacher, I was dysregulated, reactive, and a distraction to his math lesson. Academic spaces can feel like interrogation rooms when we students are forced to perform without our humanity being seen first. Our school didn't give Mr. Conroy a game plan on how to deal with students like me, no protocol, no tools that are useful for us. Traumatized teenagers who just really need spaces to disassociate in peace. Priorities could switch as survival becomes necessary. And in my experience as a student and as a teacher of life, I've recognized that students today still walk into classrooms solving for their own X every day. The hardest math problems have nothing to do with numbers and everything to do with circumstances and stories. Legacy. I didn't need a lecture that day. I needed someone to see me and support me, someone to help me unpack and plan, to breathe and regulate myself, to calm my beating heart before a lesson on algebra. Mr. Conroy did open that door with his calmness, his patience, his choice to ask instead of punishing me, and a planted seed that would grow into my own calling. He became my girls' soccer coach on campus, and he had an opportunity to pour into me and use our skills and talent to discipline. I became the captain of the team as a freshman and in position to lead a group and apply his tough wisdom and knowledge on the field. As a teen who longed for a fatherly presence, he was one who did step in by accident and without even knowing had an impact that was transformative on how I view ourselves. and all, we must humanize our struggles, dissect our reality, and create a formula that invites an alternative way of existing outside of survival, because we the people deserve this. We bring with us the weight of our homes, our hoods, poverty, our trauma, our bottled pain into our classroom chairs. Without space for these truths, we'll just keep misreading pain as misbehavior and contributing to failure of our system's design. Legacy is pointing the arrow towards the root causes in hopes it humanizes student struggles and creates bridges towards their greatest legacy and success beyond. Every child is solving an unseen equation, and our job is to help them carry the weight, not teach them to numb the pain. That's the end of the story. I really wanted to bring this up because I am currently utilizing my urbanized curriculum that invites for lived experiences to be dissected in 12 or 13 now different schools. And so I have been visiting school sites and sitting in and just kind of also doing classroom observations where I'm seeing baby Desiana still exists in the classrooms. Today, there was a scenario where I personally know what's going on with the students' mental health and their personal life, and it is heavy and it's a lot to carry. And they were just not feeling, oh my goodness, they were not feeling the lesson that day. And we were trying to support her and say, like, I'll encourage you. I'll work alongside of you to get this problem done. Like, don't give up. But I think in reality, there was just maybe a need for her to just be seen because she wasn't regulated enough to really be present to opening and learning and solving for X when she is trying to figure out the X's in her life. And that literally just happened today. So I bring this story because I feel that there are still struggles existing, not just in our classrooms and organizations, in the world, at home, everywhere, where we are forced to suppress the oppression we face, the struggles we go through, what I call the war out the window, and just keep it pushing and continue to run on this hamster wheel that's taking you on a race amongst everyone else to where, right? Like, where are we racing to? Why are we building folks to be so socialized to having to push through so damn much? Because that isn't healthy at all. So I feel that through this story, I wanted to invite you to, again, to see how the stories in this book is really broken down by each category, losses, lessons, legacy, in hopes to illuminate the ways on how I navigate this 3L collective theory within my own life and empower you all to also do the same. What life experiences have you gone through where you had to solve for X? And what was that X? And what resources did you have to solve it? Because so many of us are so forced to just go through life. And sometimes when life be lifing and whooping our ass, we got no choice but to go to work the next day or go to school the next day, put on a smile, put on the mask, and play pretend until we can come back to the space and learn how to deal with the shit we got going on. But sometimes people so tired of feeling that consistent, dreading, heavy pain that they engage themselves in unhealthy coping skills. And I truly see an increase in the way students are utilizing drugs. You feel me? Like, it is a pandemic in itself. And I don't think that us focusing only on the impact of unhealthy coping skills is where we should be putting all of our attention at. I think the attention is creating space to addressing what's causing them to need to cope, that deserves space to be acknowledged. So I appreciate y'all joining in on this short episode. I really just wanted to read this story to you, saturate your own thoughts on it. And I would highly suggest that you all start to utilize your own journal. So when you are listening to episodes and things are coming up for you, reflect on it, okay? We're all about taking up some space to process things that we probably have never processed before and nothing that we ever thought to process as well. So if there's any triggers that came up for you through this story, highly encourage you to also take some time to process what some exes you had to solve for yourself. What was it like having to solve that? And then also the legacy, losses, lessons, legacy. Where do you hope to utilize some of those lessons that came from that experience to empower you moving forward? I got so much love for y'all. Thank y'all for tapping in. Stay tuned. We got more special guests coming up. There's going to be a blend between me doing episodes like this and then also having special guests. I really want to utilize this space to invite you all to experience some of the new stories. So I love y'all. Have an amazing night, and I'll tap in with y'all soon.
You just tapped into another powerful episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Thank you, first off, for showing up for yourself and for the legacy that you're building. Remember that every loss we name, every lesson we share, becomes a part of the legacy that can't be erased. We're not just healing. We're shifting culture, we're breaking cycles, and we're making sure the hood we come from isn't the hood we leave behind. If this moved you, share it with somebody you love, follow, review, and come back next week. We're just getting started. Until next time, keep living the 3L way. That is your losses plus your lessons equals a legacy. Peace, power, and purpose always.